Everybody, welcome to a very, very special episode of Bat and Spider. As you know, I'm on assignment right now, so I recorded this before I went on assignment. We have a little fun thing for you. We have a bit of a clip show here today, and these are all outtakes that I've kind of been pocketing away for the past 6 months or more when I finally got the idea. When old Dale _A attempts to edit the podcast, he tries to keep it tight, tries to keep it around an hour as best as he can and as best as his mind will let him keep track of what's being said. And sometimes I get the privilege of just cutting out audio to save for time. I'm very happy when I get to do that. Sometimes it doesn't always work out, because sometimes I'll try to edit out a chunk of audio and then we'll refer to that audio that I'm trying to cut out later in the show. I mean, people should get paid to do this, you know? I'm going to cue those outtakes up for you really quickly. I don't know. This is way easier when I have somebody else to bounce my thoughts off of. What we have here is a series of clips that some of them at some point in time I may have shared in the Black Dungeon Discord channels. Not all of this audio, but some of it. When I'm on the night that I'm editing, I will export my outtakes and share it there. So some of you folks may have heard some of this already. And if you don't have access to the Black Dungeon Discord channels, well then join our Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com, and you can get in on the Black Dungeon action. You pay us, you donate anything to us, and you unlock special channels in the Discord and also our whole entire back catalog of audio released special for Ko-fi donators. You get a special private RSS feed. You could plug into a podcast player. You could download all of the audio that's there. We had some great times with Slim from the 70 Millimeter podcast, Jonesy from the Twin Vipers podcast, Anna Ghoul, Garbage Sherpa herself, Bat and Spider's own, and a whole lot more. Anyway, let's get this going.
Now, I know you're all thinking I'm going to pick Project ALF from 1996, which maybe, oh my God, Miguel Ferrer's in it?
Whoa.
God damn.
From 1996?
Yeah, 1996.
Project That's true. ALF.
Yeah. So I think Koblasto put a link. Nobody reacted to it. He put a link to, the Blu-ray of it on Amazon. And I think I'm the only sucker who clicked on this link. And it was for a DVD of Project ALF. And I ended up looking this up on Letterboxd. I was like, this is real? And it's on Tubi? This is crazy. Martin Sheen's in it.
Jesus.
It's wild.
Martin Sheen, from the highest highs to the lowest. I mean,
Do you think when he dies and at the Oscars, they do their little tribute, they'll show him in Apocalypse Now and then playing yeah. Colonel Gilbert Milfoyle in Project ALF. Just a hard cut.
I think, I think if they knew what was good for them, they should appeal to the masses. Because the guy, isn't the guy who puppeted Alf, like, wasn't he like the main driving force behind Alf?
I think
for
so, yeah.
Years. Project Alf aired on ABC after NBC changed plans for the last season of Alf to have one extra episode so the storyline could be resolved with a two-part finale. The first half aired with to be continued notice, but the network did not produce any episodes and left the series on a cliffhanger for over 5 years. Wow, oh, that's God. Sick.
Wow.
The full original cast did not return for the film. William O'Leary and Jensen Daggett were already working together on ABC, playing husband and wife on Home Improvement.
Whoa.
So now I'm like morbidly curious because obviously the first half of the finale yeah. featured the cast of the show with the dad who hated his life and hated the show that he was on. Uh-huh. And then the Project Alf features none of them.
Wow. That's weird. Are we picking, am I picking this movie?
With, if you credit yourself as it being your idea.
No, I don't think I'm ready to pick Elf. Not ready yet.
I wonder if this Elf, the creator of Elf, I wonder if he does like cons and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't imagine he doesn't.
This guy's filmography.
Impressive?
Is only the voice of Alf.
No,
up until 2023.
Really? Wow.
He's only the voice of Alf. But from the, I mean, from the series finale of Alf, he wasn't Alf. There was no mention of Alf until Project Alf. And then, you know, he's come back.
Wow.
About once a year or so. Mind is blown.
Thank you.
Kings of the summer. Kings,
kings.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch Mungo Jerry, do it. The sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, you can dine or return at 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it big and good and lay by. We're not bad people, we're not dirty, we're not mean. We love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go swimming in the sea. We're always happy, lives we're living, yeah, that's our philosophy. We need to be able to dress like Mungo Jerry again.
I know.
Da 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 da, yeah, we're happy. Da da da, dee da da dee da 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 da. I hope that Google doesn't rip this out of our feed.
Oh, God.
Spotify, go easy on us. We are playing this while Chuck looks for a movie.
I can't believe we have to worry about that now. That sucks.
Mungo Jerry, you hairy, beautiful man. I wish I could keep playing it. I do. I wish I could keep playing it, but this isn't Dale spinning the hits for radio. I gotta mind my P's and Q's. I have to watch myself.
God. Dale, did you ever consider going into getting a communications major and going into radio? Is that ever on your list?
If it was far too late, Chuck, because, you know, when I barely knew what options were available to me in a college setting, you know, mm-hmm. like I didn't know anything. So I just, I didn't know.
You didn't know.
I didn't have like people, guiding me or encouraging me to make cool decisions on what I could be, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I guess I'll just, I don't know. Yeah, so I guess maybe communications might have been one of those things. I don't know. I don't think at the time, maybe. I was, sounded like a lot of creativity, which I don't think I have, you know?
I'd beg to differ.
I definitely don't have a penchant for speaking to large crowds face to face, that's for sure.
Well, that's why you go into radio DJing. You don't have to look at them.
That's why I'd be a radio DJ, yeah.
I think there's still time for you. If that's something you want to go into.
Thanks, buddy. You think I should just start from scratch and just not worry about my responsibilities and go back to school?
Yeah.
You know?
Or just become so good that XM Sirius has to hire you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I could work 7 days a week like the rest of those DJs.
Yeah.
You know?
God.
Dennis Elsis working 7 days a week.
I don't know who that is.
Well, subscribe.
Subscribe. Well, subscribe.
Boop. I just realized I can talk about something this week. Speaking of Zelda, we're going to get back to Zelda if you need to, Chuck. Don't worry. But to catch everybody up, I haven't talked about video games in quite some time.
I know. I'm getting worried.
Since we last spoke.
Yeah.
I have made it through Dragon Age Origins, Dragon Age 2, and I'm now tens of hours deep into Dragon Age Inquisition.
Wow.
And the biggest thing about Dragon Age Inquisition so far, Chuck, is I get sick while playing the game.
Oh, okay. Tell me about this sickness. What is it?
I feel nauseous. Mm-hmm. I feel like I the back of my neck gets weird where like I feel like if I lean all the way back in my chair, like I'm at an angle. I feel like no matter how I look at the TV, my head feels like it's being forced in that direction or something, but it's also just nausea and eye fatigue very, very badly.
Wow. Well,
super,
you know,
bad eye fatigue.
You know that I believe you. I'm not one of these people who'd be like, what are you talking about?
It's real.
Oh, it's real. Because
and I know, you know, it's real.
Yeah. Because I probably talked about it on here many times, how I can't play Elden Ring or any From Software game because they give me migraines, basically. Like, they're probably not migraines, but they give me these horrible headaches. And it's a horrible strain. I just can't play them.
It's killing
me. Which makes me very upset because they have another game coming out that I want to play.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would, yeah. So I don't know what to do. If I play it earlier in the morning, I seem to be a little better and take little breaks. But I say this to say I'm not going to stop playing because I'm almost done the trilogy.
Wow.
You know, like, what am I going to do now?
You're just
going
to do it. You're just going to do it.
I'm going to force my way through it. I'll probably, you know, maybe I'll like, my teeth will be missing from all the acid and the vomit that comes up. You know, maybe my teeth will dissolve, but at least I will have finished Dragon Age Inquisition.
Wow. You'll have Johnny Depp's teeth by the time you finish that.
Yeah. So, you know, there are role-playing games. There are like live-action kind of role-playing games where you can develop relationships if you woo your party members and, you know, kind of there's cleave and you can like have same-sex kind of things.
Cleave? Oh, cleave. Okay.
Cleave. Right. Like women's cleave and men's cleave.
Forgot who I was talking to for a second.
But I'm having fun. I can't tell you that overall, I mean, I could get into the minutiae of what Dragon Age 2 improved from Dragon Age Origins and what Dragon Age Inquisition is kind of improved on the two, but that would be just a different kind of game. That would be a different kind of podcast and a different kind of deep dive.
Yeah.
But I'm not particularly, I can tell you I'm not like super particularly impressed with the storyline. But here I am. I'm almost done the trilogy, so I got to see this through. And I've owned throughout my Xbox career, you know, I've owned all these titles, so might as well play them.
Yeah.
I bought them, played 2 hours of each one when they came out, and then I stopped, you know? But here I am.
Are these pretty big games? These were pretty big when they were coming out?
They were pretty big, yeah. Dragon Age Origins was like trumped up as this huge thing. Now, what's interesting about these games is if you get the PC version, it's a lot different because, you know, once combat starts, once an enemy appears on screen, you're to like combat pauses and you're to issue commands to your party members. It's kind of like Baldur's Gate in a different kind of style. But on the consoles, they tried to like re-engineer combat to where you're like over your shoulder and you're in real time actively kind of holding down buttons and doing moves by pressing like left trigger and X or left trigger and Y. But, and you can control each party member individually, or you can assign them like AI tactics. Like when you get to 25%, heal yourself, heal another party member, that kind of thing. So, it's a weird thing because these games are, I guess, beloved on PC, and I could see the appeal of trying to get deep into the games on PC because of the way you can dole out commands for every fight and stuff. But really, I just got to get through the story. I got everything on casual because I just want to blow through things and get through the story. You know, I can't be doing this.
It might surprise you to hear that, I believe I've played about an hour's worth of Dragon Age Origins. Because
that surprises me.
When I first started getting back into video games as an adult, I had a PS3 for a little bit.
Okay.
And I picked up Dragon Age Origins, probably because it was successful and there were millions of copies at my local store and I probably got it for $5.
Yeah.
And I vaguely remember making my character and then starting a story.
Mm-hmm.
And being in a castle or a dungeon or something and walking around, and I didn't like it. I hated it. I didn't want any part of it. I was disappointed. It seemed fun.
I feel like, and with Dragon Age Origin especially, I got caught up into the hype.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like they sort of advertised the game as something that it wasn't because it's so masked in like real-time strategy-esque, you can tell it's just a different combat system that's been made console-friendly, but less so than a Diablo. Like it's, they're just like raw-dogging and brute-forcing a combat system just to get it playable on consoles because they know there's money to be made on consoles. But Dragon Age Origins, the beginning of that game, I think was the most fleshed out because you could pick your race, you could pick your origin story, and you probably have about an hour and a half to 2 hours of gameplay for each one of those things, ultimately culminating in everybody gets funneled into the same storyline after their origin story. That's where it kind of like stops, but that's where the power of choice stops because in Dragon Age 2, you're a human, you could just pick your class, and Dragon Age Inquisition, very much the same thing. Mm. So you kind of like, you know, the power or the individual origin stories aren't as, they don't exist. So I think that was a huge feature of Dragon Age Origins, but also Dragon Age Origins was, you know, the ugliest of the bunch because it was an old engine. And even for the time, it was just kind of sad looking. So.
Yeah, I think that was my first time encountering the that character creation screen, which is now ubiquitous in a lot of games nowadays.
And
I was like, wow, this is different from GameCube, which was probably the last system I played before
Yeah. If you're dipping your toe back in, I could see. Yeah, certainly.
This ain't your mama's Dragon game.
So that's Dragon Age. I will.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to stick with it and finish. I'm going to see this out so I can play something else.
Don't, if it's not fun with those headaches, don't do it. And nausea. That's, oh my God. Yeah. If I got nauseous from a video game, I would throw that thing across the street so fast.
I know.
I would look at it every day until my neighbor noticed it and picked it up, threw it in her garbage can.
Beep.
Yeah, while you bring up those, while you bring up the mailbox, I've been, Melissa and I started watching these biography WWE documentaries.
Yeah.
You've been seeing these? I think they must play on A&E.
I watched a couple on A&E.
But they're on their YouTube channel. They keep putting them up there. Last night we watched the Ultimate Warrior one. And wow. I mean, I knew the story, but they got new footage with his wife and daughters. And it's some tear-jerking stuff, Dale. Melissa,
really?
Melissa cried. She teared up.
Aw.
And I was close.
Wow.
Even though he's a complicated man. The thesis for him was he was complicated. But
got it.
He had
got
a lot of people that loved him, and he loved a lot of people. But yeah, it was fantastic. Highly recommend it. After we finish here, I'm going to finish the Bret Hart one, which we were just watching. Amazing.
Nice.
You should see when she sees Bret Hart, Dale, it's like,
oh my God, really?
No other person exists in the world. She loves this man. Yeah.
Right. Like the house has fallen down around her and she wouldn't notice, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Jesus, Bret. Mm-hmm. He does that.
He's just got it. He's got it. Oh, hang on. You got to watch this. Did you watch the Bret Hart one?
Not the biography. No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
Okay. Cause if Bret Hart couldn't get into my good graces anymore, I knew he went to film school for a little bit.
Whoa.
He wanted to be a filmmaker. But what I didn't know is that he loves drawing cartoons, Dale.
He does?
Yeah. And there's a scene. He's got all his cartoons he drew while he was in the WWE. And it's all like wrestlers and stuff. You know, he would make jokes about the other wrestlers. And like the one was like the Ultimate Warrior after he gets off steroids and he's like big and fat. And he was like, Jim would have loved that one. Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe this has happened, but where is my Bret Hart cartoon collection? I want all of these things scanned and published in a book. Like
Artist
right
edition.
Now. Yeah.
Damn.
I couldn't believe it. My heart swelled when I saw that he loves drawing little cartoons. Oh my God.
I wonder what Melissa's heart did.
Yeah, well.
You know? Chuck's like, I draw cartoons too. I do them too.
Anyway, we got letters and voicemails, Dale. Dale.
She's like, yeah, thanks, Oscar. Go, your food's over there. Go eat.
Oscar, I fed you already.
Oscar, I fed you already. Oscar, where's your toy?
I'm watching.
Where's
Brett?
Your toy?
Shut up. God, Dale, am I going to order some hit? Am I going to order some wraparound Hitman shades, Dale?
Do they sell them on his website?
Yeah, the Hitman has them. Yeah, I I'm losing my mind here. God,
I used to try to do a nice Brett voice and accent, but I don't remember anything as Brett has said, so I can't even attempt one right now.
Mm. What did he say? He's the just watch the documentary. He's something the excellence of execution. I think he would say that a lot.
Yeah.
Like that. But Dale, I gotta tell you, did I say this already on the podcast last time we talked about Bret Hart? Is that he should have played Wolverine?
No, you didn't say that.
Because he
this is like a wizard casting. He's too tall.
I mean, he's 6 foot tall. Too tall. But if you shrink him down, you use some Lord of the Rings stuff, you know, movie magic. You make him short. He's big, you know. Imagine making him short and with his size, perfect. And that, but that accent, Dale. I mean, that's the thing Hollywood will never give us. Is a true Canadian accent for Wolverine. We will never, ever get that. But I would die listening to Bret Hart in his weird Canadian. Sorry. No.
You might have just sold me.
Love his voice. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
And I just want Wolverine to sound like that. That's all I want.
No. Do you think they would have made him change his hair, or would they let him be Bret Hart hair?
You know what? I think I would have been fine with him having Bret Hart hair.
No.
Yeah. Does Hugh Jackman do that? Does he do weird hair?
Yes.
After the first movie, did he do it?
Yes.
He did. But not like, it was like barely. Come on.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Come on. They didn't even let him wear the coolest mask in all of Marvel Comics. Never. Not once in one of those movies. I think there's a deleted scene you can see the mask, but he's not even wearing it. It's sitting in a drawer. Like it's a.
That's right.
Old magazines.
I like my Wolverine with wraparound sunglasses. Okay.
Exactly.
Tied with the same tubing that you tie off your arm before you inject something into your veins.
Maybe this is going to be my new thing.
Not just sunglass arms, medical tubing.
Dale, imagine the looks I would get at the local supermarket if I'm strutting around in there with Bret Hart wraparound pink shades.
Mm.
And I'm picking out which. Am I going to get the hot mustard Doritos or the tangy ketchup?
Yeah.
By the way, those are not made up. Those are real. You can get them at your local store right now.
Jesus, shut it down. I bet the, like the lady store manager would make an excuse to come and talk to you. Like stand next to you.
If I tried to use the self-checkout, she would run over and insist that she ring me out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Staring up at your wraparound sunglasses with medical tubing.
And I just squint at her. Like I don't say a word. I just squint at her. She can't see it because it's opaque.
Right.
But she knows I'm squinting at her.
And she...
That's not all.
She does a reverse cleanup in aisle 3. Okay. She's suing her store for injury sustained.
Josie's going to have to send another voicemail. I'm sorry. Do we have anything else?
We got one more voicemail.
Oh my God.
I know. Don't get me started, Chuck.
Try not to.
Boop.
Oh my God. Crap. What am I doing? I'm sitting here looking at Bret Hart's site. I could have been picking a movie. Sorry, Mr. Hart.
Store manager is in a wheelchair to meet with her lawyer afterwards. Selling it. Boop. How about the, is this too spoilery, but I still can't process the whole Warriors deal, like a half hour of just like not even homaging the Warriors. It's just like ripping the war. It's like, I don't know. I can't, the feeling in my plums, I can't get over it.
Wow. Wait.
Yeah.
Explain yourself more. You mean like Warriors, the movie?
The movie.
Okay.
The whole, like when they send him off to get to the church, And the DJ comes on, is like, hey, boppers, that's the Warriors.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
The first song that they play when she puts the record on.
It's the same song?
The first song that they play in the Warriors.
Oh, my God. Okay, I didn't even pick
up on crazy.
That. Wow. How about that?
Yeah. I get that, you know, maybe it's like they're tributing.
Yeah.
They're giving tribute to the Warriors, but it was just like, wow, this is, I don't, and maybe it's just so iconic that I can't wrap my head around, you can't really pay an homage to it without making it look like ripping it off. And I'm not saying it's a ripoff, but it's just like, wow, how do you do that? It's, I mean, it was the Warriors.
Interesting. That does remind me, it does, I mean, John Wick, they always have dumb music drops, but this one was, of course, had a couple, I don't know, I just don't like the, like they had paint a cover of Paint It Black, and it's just like, oh God, like, I don't know.
Did we
need this?
I do.
Come on.
Right. Right. I might have to cut all this out in fear of spoiling the movie for everybody, but we fun needed to though. Talk about it, you and I.
Yeah, fun movie. Yeah.
Hey, boppers. John
wow.
Wick.
I feel
our
stupid.
Target's got to get to the church. Yeah.
Man.
I feel stupid.
You know, I always forget about those tattooed ladies who run all the phones. Oh my God.
Yeah, like the suicide girls.
Yeah.
Down there operating the.
Yeah. Oh man. The whole movie could. I was the Osaka part, the whole movie could have taken place. I was like, this
is
the best part.
I wanted this three hours. Awesome. Yes. Yeah. I wanted 3 hours of Japanese, like how the lore is handled in Japan.
So you have a pistol in one hand and a sword in the other. I mean, that idea. Oh my God. I needed a whole movie of that. Come on.
Yeah. Agreed.
What are we doing?
That's all I wanted. As soon as they showed right before the action started, like right after it, maybe they showed like Donnie Yen in the, like, hiding in that doorway, like eating
the noodles. Like, yeah.
I was like, I want 3 hours of whatever is about to happen.
Yes.
It was amazing.
Oh my God.
I needed it. Mm. Let's just end the show there. What else?
Yeah, we're done.
What else could we even talk about?
I don't know.
Donnie Yen. The greatest, most underutilized in American movie.
Yeah, they were painting on that hair dye on him. It looked like he was wearing one of those, like, those dog boy plastic wigs. Look at television.
Yes. Oh, boy. Yeah. He had some black hair. It was black.
Yeah. When they get close, you could see the amount of wrinkles on this man. You're like, his hair is not that color. Nope. Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
But he was fantastic. Fucking incredible.
It was like, yeah, I was going to bring up 30 Rock. It's silly. It was silly of me. I think like Margaret Cho does like an impression of Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il in 30 Rock. And like Donnie Yen was like bordering that with the black hair.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Beep.
I'm Dale, I've got a monopoly on this show, airtime. So please, what's going on in the Dale sphere?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chuck. I'm glad you asked, but I really don't have anything to report. I did go to the movies this week. I took my kids to the movies along with the YouTube's Brian Rummel and his son. We went to go see The Meg 2.
Oh, wow.
It was very much high on the kids' watch list this summer, so I had to go see it. I like The Meg, One. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get me in front of a shark movie. You know, it's like you and
half the battle for old Dale. Yeah,
right. Yes, exactly. So The Meg 2 is more Megier, obviously, but I had fun. You know, it's a good. It's a decent popcorn summer movie. It's a lot more than just The Meg this time. There's all kinds of plot lines running through this thing. It's like these plot lines are racing each other like a Tron cycle race all racing to the end together to culminate into Jason Statham super kicking somebody. But, you know, it's Jason Statham, so you gotta appreciate what the guy's doing.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I saw The Meg in the theater, the original. Wasn't that into it? And I was like, I don't know why. Didn't hit the buttons for me.
Yeah,
I was hyped. I was hyped. So sure. I was like ready and willing and open. But so The Meg 2 hasn't really been high on my radar. But I'm glad you went and you had a popcorn time. That's great.
Yeah,
fantastic. That's all we can ask for.
I had a popcorn time. Yeah. Just knowing your visceral reaction to The Meg 1, your bottom half would be concave at the thought at watching The Meg 2 in theaters.
I wouldn't say the opposite of.
I don't know.
I'm fascinated though that The Meg 2 is directed by Ben Wheatley, who.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because when I saw a pop up on screen, I'm like, Ben Wheatley.
Yeah.
Does Chuck know this? Chuck's got to know, like, because I remember having a conversation with you and you told me who Ben Wheatley was around the time of Hot Folk Horror Summer.
Yeah.
Or whatever that was back in January.
Yeah, because he,
folk horror
he's done
January.
Movies I've liked and movies I, to use your word, viscerally did not like. And I just, I find it fascinating that he, you know, maybe he's doing that thing, you know, you get a nice big payday and do a popcorn movie and then, though, I don't know if I buy that.
Now you
know that whole thing where
movies.
Like they'll say actors or directors, you do one for them and then you do one for you. Meaning like you go to Hollywood, do one of their piece of shit movies and then you get to make your personal art project, you know?
Right.
But when unless you're Francis Ford Coppola, you're not paying to make your own movies, you know? So it's not like you're like bankrolling. I mean, I guess you can use your cachet to help raise money. I guess that makes sense. If you're doing the Hollywood thing, then you have more cachet to raise money for your independent movie. So I don't, whatever. Dale, this is not what this show's about. Let's end it.
We're stuck in the jet wash of Ben Wheatley and we got to get out of it.
It's his fault.
Okay.
It's his fault for directing The Meg 2.
Boop. And the whole, back to the wackiness stuff, like the whole B kind of plot of following the rest of Princess's Night
into
like while Ramrod is pursuing her. That's just absolutely insane.
Oh,
Like the things that she went through in one way or another, like, you know, she's therapist to the guy in the wheelchair. Like that was really sweet.
Oh,
but then
yeah.
also like the whole interaction with the super rich guy and the chauffeur was just crazy. How about the chauffeur being in every movie ever?
Yeah,
and
that
he's
guy.
In this movie.
Yeah.
Michael Ensign.
I feel like he's in every sitcom in the '80s or something. Like he looks, he's just everywhere. But yeah, that whole, that was hilarious. I love the guy in the convertible, the older guy who's like, what will $50 get me? He's just this weird accent, this weird delivery. And then he like finally lets it slip. He wants a golden shower, you know, and Season Heavily's like, I just went to the bathroom. You'll have to find somebody else. She's like, well, I got $100 and a six pack. And she's like, okay.
And then she says, well, it looks like you just signed up for a date with Princess Running Water or something like that.
Oh my God. They were,
man.
The guys writing this movie were having a blast being able to say all this stuff.
Crazy movie. I wrote down, I took minimal notes, obviously.
I took
but
notes,
the,
if you can believe it, Dale.
The one note I did take was the name of the bar that Princess met up with the other girls to get a share a drink.
Thank you. I forgot to write this down. Thank you.
The Bald Eagle. Bald, B-A-L-L-E-D. The Bald Eagle. God, yes.
And it looked like it was probably a real place.
In the words of one Chuck Forsman, America used to be a country. America used to be a real country.
Exactly. Illustration number 278. a bar called the Bald Eagle.
Beep.
Oh my God, Dale. Well, yeah, Electric Dreams. We'll get to it. I don't know what's going on. Did you you got anything to talk about worthwhile in your pitiful life? Not that my life is not pitiful. I'm just, we're both leading feeble, regular lives here, right?
Oh yeah, it's like you know, what can I choose to do with my time? Well, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Oh my God. Oh, I should have known.
Yeah.
Big release week. Big yep. release.
Big release week. And old Dale thought he would be able to wait until after his vacation in September to wrap his loving hands around Baldur's Gate 3. But, you know, I watched a 10-minute YouTube review.
That was it.
Sent by our dear friend Catcher.
That was
it. And I was like, you know what? I'm buying it right now.
Wow. Purchased. What are you playing this on?
Purchased.
I just want to set this
playing up. Playing on my PC, yeah. My game. All right. I'm playing on my PC.
Steam purchase. That's what you're saying. Steam?
Steam purchase. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Bought it on Steam.
Full Steam.
And, you know, I'm having a blast. I'm not very far in, but... I'm having fun. To set the stage, I don't have a sordid past with the previous Baldur's Gate franchise games. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm more of a D&D fan in concept. I never get to play D&D. I just simply don't have the time, but I keep up on it. I constantly read about it. You know, it's my thing. And the Baldur's Gate series, the first one came out in like 98, and I just wasn't a computer gamer then. And you know, I think by the time I wonder if Neverwinter came out after Baldur's Gate. I think so, because I kind of had a PC. I remember going into debt for this PC. Mm. So that was fun. That was when it all started.
Can I stop you right there? Yeah. Can I stop you right there? Baldur, for some reason, in my head, the title Baldur's Gate has been with us from the beginning of time, or at least 1982 when I was born. I feel like that term has always been there in the air, but you're telling me this started in 1998?
Well, I'm telling you that the video game Baldur's Gate, uh-huh, based on the D&D location Baldur's Gate.
It's a location in Dungeons and Dragons.
It's like a city, wow, in the Forgotten Realms. If you okay. folks, Chuck, and you remember our discussion, I don't know, way back about D&D a little bit. But yeah, it is a fictional location that has existed since D&D has existed, or the Forgotten Realms has existed.
Okay.
And then, you know, they named a video game after it in 98. So recently I bought it. I bought it over the years. Like, I bought it for my iPad when they re-released it and whatnot, like Baldur's Gate. You know, and it's typical Dale stuff. I play it for 2 hours and then I never pick it up again. So it's not like I'm like wedded to Baldur's Gate. I'm not like mega fan. And then when you try to play it nowadays, I did buy them all on the Steam summer sale thinking I'm just going to give my life over to the previous 25-year-old Baldur's Gate games.
I got to start at the beginning.
In reality... Yeah, yeah, exactly. But in reality, you know, I was just looking to spend like $45 to $50 mm-hmm. on something. So I figured I'd just buy all the Baldur's Gate games, you know, because what else am I going to do with this money other than...
You'd be stupid not
like,
to.
Like, save it.
Yeah.
So I started playing that for a while to hold me over. But, you know, it just, you know, it's a product of its time. You got to like be really in love with this 25-year-old game to want to like... keep playing it and stuff like that. So Baldur's Gate 3 comes around last week, and Chuck, I'm having a blast playing this game. It's updated graphically. It's user friendly. It's like a turn-based role-playing game set to the rules of 5th edition D&D, which is a blast. It's really well done, really well translated from tabletop RPG to video game rule sets and like abilities and stuff like that. And the story so far is really great. And if anybody was around in Bat and Spider's Discord on Saturday night.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Dale hopped in there and was playing it.
You were streaming live
for folks.
The game. Wow.
In the Discord.
In the Discord. Man.
Yeah.
I know. I was watching SummerSlam. I saw the little notification. I was like, hey, what's going on in this Discord here? And I was shocked.
Yeah. I think Pop Fenton mentioned that was SummerSlam. So silly me to try to go up against SummerSlam. I mean, that's why they show reruns of the Goldbergs, because they know they're not going to, they're not going to compete. So, you know, my mistake, but.
Yeah, but.
But I was having some fun.
That's great. I'm glad you took the initiative and you did the thing. Now, look, this game. I'll just ask you. There's some sort of interspecies sex going on in this game, right? That's what everyone was talking about months ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, there is some bear play.
Oh, wow!
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I honestly don't know the ins and outs of the actual story.
Yeah,
or I don't think it's a controversy because you're allowed to have sex with bears if you want. I don't know how you come about being intimate with anybody, let alone a bear,
let alone a human
that's
right,
changed
Dale?
Into a bear. Yeah, like, exactly.
You drop us in Baldur's Gate, even though it's virtual and it's up to our imaginations. I don't know how to initiate sex with anything.
I'm too busy trying to,
We weren't born with that.
I'm too busy trying to, I'm trying to remember who I was. I meet in a tavern, my party in a tavern, and we start adventuring. I don't know where the intimacy comes along.
Yeah.
But I do know during character creation, Chuck, you can pick up to like 4 or 5 different penises.
Yeah.
You can choose during character creation to remove your tunic and stand there beholden to you with a curved flaccid wiener.
Wow.
Pointing your way, and you get to choose from the default or up to like 6 different peenies, or flat Mons Deferens areas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Chuck.
Everything in between. That's great.
Everything. Yeah. So even if for some reason they don't even show the penis in the game, at least you know you have one.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's an important thing for your characters. It informs their personality, right? How much is
to know?
Swinging?
Yeah. That you're to know what you're packing.
Yeah. Jeez.
So my dwarven fighter, my dwarven fighter Doohan has
3 knees.
I made sure, Chuck. Yeah, I mean it's like one of the ancient monoliths built by the Circle of Magi in the Forgotten Realms. Boop.
God, well, I'm that's fantastic. I don't know what else to ask about Baldur's Gate. It's like, I'm confused because I like the bear footage came out that looks like a new timey 3D game. But then I saw like a trailer or something and it's like overhead and you're listening to like your dungeon master in your ear the whole time. Right?
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's like this turn-based. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up. But so like the game is like being narrated. The main storyline is being narrated to you by this like unseen dungeon master. So it kind of feels like you're playing a D&D game.
Yeah.
That's like narrating your character, like their actions and whatnot. But I did want to bring up, I just built this PC. I've been using it off and on for like Fallout and Fallout 76, and I haven't been serious gaming, but when I bought the PC, just so happens my previous UPS unit like died, of course. So
I gotta get one of those.
I bought a new UPS, and UPSs are not cheap. So I spent like, I don't know, it was like $120. I bought the one I bought, And I haven't really used the PC. You know, I haven't really supercharged this. Like the graphics card didn't really like kick it up yet. So I start playing this Baldur's Gate, and only the tower is plugged into the battery backup part of this UPS. And this UPS starts going off that I'm drawing too much power from this UPS. Like what? How come I can't buy a consumer grade UPS and it's like freaking out that I'm using like 110% of the
what's this UPS's
like,
problem?
Like
I thought that's beyond its jurisdiction, right? It's just protecting, right? It's just giving you the power and protecting things, right? If power goes out, right?
Right. But what it's telling you, if it's overloaded, yeah. It's not going to be able to battery back up your.
Oh, okay,
it's like okay. It's too much for the battery to support.
Wow.
So it's going to have an audible alarm, like you're flatlining.
That sucks.
Like you're hooked up to that machines. Sucks.
Return it.
Yeah.
Send
so
it back.
I'm like, I like drop down. I'm like trying to mute the thing. I'm freaking out. You know, it's like louder. The dog and the cat were probably freaking out downstairs. So. So turns out that, you know, my new PC, I guess, is more powerful than this dumb cyber power. That's what I get.
Jesus.
For trying to have nice things.
God. It's like, why do we have smoke
alarms? If you thought DVD RAM talk was interesting last week.
Everyone, look, I'm proud of my DVD RAM talk. You'll be happy to know I finished the story off air with Dale before we hit record. So, sorry.
Yep.
Sorry. That's
it. Yeah. I got it. Yeah,
Dale has it. No one else gets it.
Got it.
That's fantastic though.
Chuck.
Rest in peace to your UPC though. I got to get one of those things. Linus Tech Tips always says you should get one. So I'm every few months I'm looking and pricing them.
Got it.
You know.
You need that clean power. You need the clean power.
Yeah, I do. I had no idea.
Beep.
What about
anything?
Me? Let's see here. What can I get into? I saw another wrestling show this weekend.
Proud of you.
Local, truly independent wrestling. And I have a new favorite wrestler there whose name, I believe his name is PW Politician. And he's like a small town politician character. He's like a kind of a round fellow with, he wears like a gray suit, like he's, you know, like he's the mayor or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And this guy, he didn't even have a mic on him, but he talked loud and he had the gift of gab. And you could hear him, like his whole thing was like, just like you would imagine a politician in a wrestling ring would do, is he's trying to talk his way out of situations. He's always flapping those gums. And I just loved this guy.
Oh, yeah.
This guy has talent. This guy, He was the sleeper hit of the show, I think. I don't know if any of the other crowd, anyone in the crowd but me was, I was slapping my knee and screaming. I love this man.
Yes.
So God. I hope he comes
That's
back.
That's great.
And Melissa and I are feeling more comfortable at this local promotion now. And I could tell that because there's this one three-person wrestling, I never know what they're called, a stable or whatever. They come out, they're sort of like hillbilly inbred monster people. And one of them like knows English and sort of orders the brute one around. But the one who knows English gets on the mic and I start booing and yelling at him. And he looks me right in the eye and he starts yelling at me and it's just like lightning bolts. See, that's the best.
Probably felt when you get a million bucks.
When you get involved, Dale, at these little shows, there's nothing. Yeah. And he said he threatened to knock like what my last tooth out of my head or something. Like I was a hillbilly, but you know, God, it was so good.
Oh,
but
beautiful.
Yeah. That was fun.
I love it. Boop. Well, Chuck, I did manage to watch a movie the past couple days. And that movie takes me back. I think I watched it maybe deep in the pandemic, but I watched 1992's Universal Soldier.
Oh, wow.
Because it turns out it's my second Roland Emmerich film in the last month. So maybe it's just something pushing me towards Roland again.
Wow.
You know, I wasn't done. I wasn't done with Roland, and Roland wasn't done with me.
Episode 200, but, we're going to do a Day After Tomorrow. Is that one of his movies?
That's right. We're teasing it. We're teasing it right now. You know?
The Roland Empire.
Van Damme, you know, so nostalgia holds its sway, as we know, Chuck, as I try to bring up every week on an episode, I try to bring up an nostalgia and how it ties into my life.
I mean, yeah.
In any capacity. So, you know, I hold Universal Soldier in a higher regard, because for one, it's a Van Damme movie, and I used to think it was a lot more badass than it really is.
Uh-huh.
It's a good movie, but boy, it's, you know, like I am just picking it apart. I was just picking it apart this watch. I mean, it was good, but the point is, I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to fluff for time, but did you know out there in the world is an alternate ending to Universal Soldier? Did you know that?
No.
You probably don't remember the original ending, Universal Soldier, because, you know, it's half forgettable as it is. You know, he beats Dolph Lundgren
in the rain.
And he chews him up in the rain, and then he chews him up in the tractor, and Ali Walker says, "Where's Scott?" And Van Damme says, "He's around." And then, you know, Ali asks how he's feeling, and he says, like a 50-year-old man. And it's pretty much over after that. But the alternate ending is darker and stupider all at the same time. So he kills Scott Dolph.
Okay.
And then his parents come out, because in the movie he's reunited with his parents. And his dad.
Oh yeah, because they're at his family farm, right? Is that where they are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're at his family farm. His dad. I shouldn't even spoil it.
Just
should
do
I
it.
Spoil it.
Tell me.
His dad. If you want to watch the alternate ending, look for it on YouTube. His dad blows him away with a shotgun.
Wow.
And then. Right after that happens, so yeah. he shoots him with a shotgun like three times.
Okay.
And then Jerry Orbach pulls up, who was the, he originated the Unisol program back in Nam, I guess. And it turns out, like, you know, in the movie that we see, Jerry Orbach is like a decent kind of doctor, and it implies that he left the program and he pointed him towards his family. But he's basically saying, like, sorry, Jean-Claude, like, we just pointed you towards this house so we could get you and Dolph together in the same spot and both put you both down at the same time, because you're basically AWOL and we can't have, like, loose ends running around. Wow. So Jerry Orbach is the bad guy.
Wow.
But then the cops pull up and arrest everybody, so it's kind of lame. And then his real parents, like, come out.
His real parents?
Oh, his real God. Parents, yeah, because so the dude to blow him away was this were fake parents.
Wow.
But his real parents, like, escape from a police car or something, and is like, you know.
Now you're saying this is posing. This is dumber than the original. This sounds kind of awesome to me.
It
right?
Well, that part is awesome, but then there's like this like minute long. But then the movie just ends, and there's like a minute long. Voiceover from the lady Ali Walker who basically says how Jean-Claude spends the rest of his days. He didn't want to be treated, or he didn't want to live forever, so he just lives out the rest of his days. But it was really kind of like eventless at the end. It was just like, you can't put all that into a voiceover at the end, because it just like it took all the way the impact of what we just saw in the movie, kind of.
Yeah.
But that's my take.
Wow.
But, I recommend seeing it, cause it's startling to see.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way that I feel like that you did. Cause I remember when I remember the trailers when it came out, but for whatever reason, I never saw it until whatever my review on Letterboxd is. Like last year when I was doing my Van Damme run, or the year before, I finally watched it. And I was like, like, I don't get what the big deal is. It wasn't that exciting. Because I know a lot, I have like friends that are big Universal Soldier heads.
Yeah.
And I have tentative plans to like watch all the rest of them, because like apparently there's some recent ones that are really awesome.
Wow.
So, you know, like people,
I would be surprised.
Trust, vouch for. So okay. It is a journey I want to go on, but I think it was stunted by finally watching Universal Soldier, and I was like, you know, it was okay. I mean, you know,
it was like this, you know, it's like this wannabe hardcore action movie where, you know, of the time in the early 90s with the Carolco, like movie, like Total Recall, like at times there's like this weird vibe where innocents are expendable and people are getting blasted in the, you know, in their head because they're in the way of the bad guy kind of thing. But then it's like, Luke Devereaux, I think his name is Van Damme. He's like this weird, and I don't mean to say weird, like he's a weirdo, but it's this weird story of this soldier who like immediately gets his memories back from Vietnam, and he just wants to kind of just go home and be away from all. Like, he's never like the badass action Unisoul that, we get a glimpse of the Unisouls being badass in the first 5 minutes of the movie, and then that's it. It's like, it turns into The Hitcher.
Yeah. I think that
it's wild.
It feels like a rug pull, especially like, I remember that trailer. It's like such a huge setup. Like, oh, these are basically like Terminators, you know, it's like they're going for that kind of feel. And then, but in the movie, that's not really the situation, you know,
it's wild. Yeah. So it's like it could be a heartfelt kind of weird movie with a sci-fi bent to it if it wanted to be, but they added in some like brutality, and, you know, Dolph is like brutalistic. He's like the, you know, canned tropey psycho Vietnam vet who he just goes crazy in the very beginning of the movie and doesn't stop, you know?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm looking wild at all the sequels. It's fascinating like how many sequels got made. God. Oh yeah, Hyams. Unisouls. Is it Hyams? So Hyams, I think when he takes it over, they get good or something. John Hyams.
And also shout out to, I did notice this time that there's an old woman in this movie that is on camera for a half of a second in the first half of the movie. And she is the same old woman from the movie. You ready for this?
No.
She is in the movie The Running Man.
Wow.
As the woman who makes the prediction that the next kill will be made by Ben Richards.
Wow.
Because that boy's one mean motherfucker.
And you're like the Leo meme from
I'm pointing at the screen.
Pointing at the screen. Yep. There she is.
With my cigarette in my hand.
Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway.
There's a Universal Soldier. Chris Van Damme in the credits of Universal Soldier. Who's that?
Yeah. So I went down this rabbit hole. Chris Van Damme is Jean-Claude's son, and he's in like 12. He's in 12 Jean-Claude movies, and he usually plays young Jean-Claude in the movie.
Wow, what a racket. Love it. It's great.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's like nepotism, but he's also like ensuring his son is a working actor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wow. Universal Soldier. You heard it here first. Roland Emmerich. See, I can't. It blows my mind that he directed that.
It blows my mind too. Yeah, because he went from, you know, Stargate. He went from Universal Soldier, Stargate. Then he does like the big end of the world stuff,
Independence Day, and then he was like the king shit. While.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did Godzilla.
Come with me. Come with me. Come with me.
Godzilla Taco Bell cups filling up the landfills.
Holy shit. That is a... Now, wow, dude, high five to that. Like, I'm all about... When you bring up the movie Godzilla, yeah. All I'll talk about is the soundtrack, because that's what... That's how, like, affected me yeah. back then. But damn, that is a pull. The Godzilla Taco Bell tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was huge. It was everywhere.
Yeah. It was huge. It was massive.
Saturation. Damn. Wow.
Wow.
So. God, should we get into this? We've been yapping. We've been flapping our gums.
God, we've been talking like a coffee clutch. A
couple of know? Aunties over here. Yeah, the coffee clutch.
Folks, and that's it. Batandspider.com for all of your Bat and Spider needs. Join our Discord. We'll be back very soon with brand new episodes, and we love you. Thank you so much for your support. And thanks for entertaining me for this hour plus.
Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.